I'm going to ask Brian now if he can come and bring our main reading for this morning. Thank you, Brian. I'll let you introduce it.
The main reading this morning is Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And it's headed Barnabas and Saul sent off. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, do thank you for your precious word. It's a living word. It's an eternal word. Lord, it never returns void, and we thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us through your word this morning. Lord, open our hearts, Lord, to what you would say. And Lord, thank you that you've made us part of your church, and Lord, we want to serve. Lord, we want to be faithful. Lord, please speak, Lord, and may we listen. Amen. I want to start by saying that the local church is truly loved by God. This church here, Rochford Congregational Church, is loved by God. Also, its ministry, the local church's ministry, is precious to God. You know, it's a varied ministry, isn't it? It's preaching the word like I'm doing now. It's showing member love and care to one another. It's visiting the sick and praying for them. It's been involved, isn't it, in marriages and dedications, baptisms and deaths as well. These are all important ministries of the local church. But I think one ministry, important ministry, that should be up there with the others and is sometimes neglected is mission. Whether that's mission overseas or mission in our own areas. The local church is here to reach the lost. That's our great commission, isn't it? Go into the world. You know, I'd love it if I could just stay in the church and people pour in the door. But it's not happening, is it? The challenge is that we've got to go out of those doors and speak to people. We've got to spread the gospel because it's good news, isn't it? So I want to say this morning, and this is our title, mission is our mission. Mission is our mission. You know, why do I say this? Because our God is a missionary God. His Bible is a missionary book. Jesus' gospel, you know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, it's a missionary message, isn't it? It's good news to those who hear the message and receive it. So God's true church is a missionary institution. You know, I would say this morning that here you must enjoy being part of mission because you wouldn't have invited me here if you weren't. And I know many times I've come and people have been very faithful to SGA and still are. And we praise God for that. You know, I hope you're excited this morning to be part of God's mission. We see firstly in our passage, Acts 13, that the church is the centre for mission. It's here in this local church that mission is encouraged. It's where missionaries are born. You know, I don't know here at Rochford whether you've sent out missionaries from the church itself. I should have asked one of the folk earlier, but I didn't. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when a church can send people out. And sometimes it's the best people, isn't it? And we think, oh, no, we need them here. But God says, no, I want them here, over here. And the church has helped to bring to birth those missionaries. And here at Antioch, where this church is in our passage, God is launching this great missionary movement. And we need to remind ourselves he's doing it out of the local church. This is his starting point. So I believe it must be our starting point as well. You know, here you've got a diverse group of people, haven't you? From their names, we can tell that some were Jews and some were Gentiles. But the great thing is, they're all God's people. And, you know, when we look at each other today, what a diverse group of people we are here. But the good news is, isn't it? We're all God's people. And here they were ministering for the Lord. And I wonder, I just mentioned four brief things about this group. And I wonder if you see yourself in it as well. They were spiritual believers. Why do I say that? Because there was something real and living about their faith. They were sincere believers. These were people who were active and could be counted upon in the local church. They were dedicated believers. We're told in the passage that Brian read to us, they were fasting, they were praying, they were worshipping. And then lastly, they were discerning believers, because it says they heard from the Holy Spirit. How did they hear? Was it an audible voice, which the Holy Spirit could do? Or was it one of the prophets in the church that brought the Holy Spirit's message? We don't really know. But what matters is that they heard from the Holy Spirit. And this is the second point, the Holy Spirit calling. The Holy Spirit calling. Here these two sort of missionaries, if you like, Saul and Barnabas. Saul is who we know becomes the Apostle Paul. They have this clear calling and a clear mission as well. You know, it's not for everyone, is it? They're not all going on this mission, just two of them. But we'll see in a moment that the rest of them are going to play a part in the mission. You know, when God calls us, what is he looking for? Is he looking that you and I have all the skills, the gifts, the great speeches or whatever? Is that what he's looking for? I don't think so. He looks for servants, doesn't he? He looks for those who feel weak in themselves. And he sets them apart to be useful. You know, I pray often that to God that I will be useful and not useless. You know, I don't want to be useless for the Lord. You know, he's done so much for me, my family, etc., in the ministry, and I want to be useful. Not useless. Notice here they didn't appoint themselves. You know, I think as local churches we need to be aware of this. Some people sometimes come into the church and they come in all guns blazing, you know, we can do this, we'll do this. But is God calling them to do that? When I was a pastor, before I joined SGA, I was a pastor in North Devon near Barnstable. And a lovely couple came into the church in their 30s. And my wife Margaret and myself, we met a couple of weeks later with them for coffee and chat. And they were saying, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this. I couldn't believe it. You know, normally to get people to do something, you've got to sort of twist their arm. But they were keen. I said to Mara, this is amazing, you know. We're a small village church. You know, we needed workers to come and help. And I thought, you know, this is God answering our prayers. Well, about 2 weeks later, I received a letter through the post. And they said, in the letter, they said, oh, God has called us elsewhere. Amazing, isn't it? 1 minute, God is calling them here, now there, now here. This is why we need to be careful of those that come in who want to appoint themselves to positions. Here you notice in the passage, they didn't choose their own mission field. They didn't say, well, it's comfortable over there. That's where I want to go and serve. They went where the Holy Spirit told them to go. And it was God's specific work, wasn't it? It was his mission field. And when we go where God wants us to go, that's where his blessing will be. Whether that's in Rochford or Southend or wherever you live, if we go in obedience to the Lord Jesus, that's where his blessing will be. So I want to encourage each one of you this morning that God has a specific calling upon your life. He has a personal plan of service for you. And yes, it's daunting. None of us would say it's easy. But if he chooses you to do something, he will enable you, the Bible says, to fulfill what he wants you to do. And there you will see God's blessing upon your faithfulness. Well, thirdly, the church sending and praying. We've said, haven't we, the sending out is by the local church. You know, we're not all called, are we, to go to Romania or Moldova or Far East Russia. We don't have that calling. But we could all be partners in mission, can't we? We do have that calling. And Saul and Barnabas, they left this local church at Antioch, and they knew there'd be faithful support from them. Because we know this, because Paul in his epistles, his letters in the Bible, he often praises, doesn't he, the local church, because they've been there for him. They've sent him gifts. They've been praying for the ministry and for Paul himself. You know, wonder how many missionaries have been sent out by local churches, and for the first year, there's emails, there's cards, there's gifts. We're praying for you. But I wonder after that first year, do these missionaries get forgotten? You know, the church has moved on. But here are these missionaries abroad, working in the UK somewhere, and that support has evaporated. But here the local church would be interceding for Paul and Barnabas and the work. They make a good start, don't we? In verse 3, they say this, that they dedicate, or commission, I should say, Saul and Barnabas. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And also for Saul and Barnabas, there was this accountability, because they went on behalf of the church at Antioch. You know, if they screwed up, it was a bad witness for the church at Antioch as well. So they went, there was this accountability, which there always should be, shouldn't there, in work, Christian work. You know, Jesus, what did he say about the harvest? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. That's the problem, isn't it? The harvest is plentiful just outside our doors here. But the workers are few. Jesus always has the answer, doesn't he? Because he said, didn't he, pray to the Lord of the harvest. What for? Yeah, send the laborers, more workers, that's right. Prayer, we believe, is a mission, SGA. We believe prayer carries mission. Yes, the gifts are important, as the work wouldn't be done, but it's the prayer that really carries the work forward. Peter Deinecker, the founder who I showed you earlier, he had a catchphrase: much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, you know the answer, don't you? No power. And he's right, isn't he? I think we can apply this, can't we, to our own Christian lives. What's your prayer life like? What's mine? Is it much prayer, much power? Or are we, sadly, the other side, no prayer, no power? Well, Saul and Barnabas, they went off and did their mission, and they returned to the church. If you turn over into Acts 14, we're just going to have a little picture here of them coming back from the mission. Acts 14, 26 and 27. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. It's always good, isn't it, to start a work for the Lord and to complete it. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them. That's great, isn't it? God had done it through them. And how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. You know, wonderful, isn't it? They wanted to come back and say, look, you've prayed for us, you've enabled this mission, and look what God has done through us. You know, I hope you've been encouraged this morning, what you've seen on the screen and what you've heard about what God is doing through us, SGA. Well, let's bring the message towards a finish now. Well, you may say to me, Clive, you know, I'm not a missionary, I'm not an evangelist. What can I do? I don't know if you noticed when Brian finished the reading, but there's this little bit at the end of verse 5. John was with them as a helper, as their helper. You know, John wasn't up front. You know, Saul and Barnabas were doing maybe the ministry side, but John was there as a helper. You know, how many of us in the local church are helpers and we need that help, that support? Saul and Barnabas, they went and they proclaimed, didn't they, the word of God, we're told in verse 5. They proclaimed the word of God. They didn't bring their own little messages, their own ideas, but they proclaimed God's word. And what was the message of salvation? It was Jesus. And they would have spoken to people about his life, how he came to earth, how he was a man with authority, how he healed and did miracles and miraculous signs. They would have certainly spoken about his death, that he died that we could be forgiven. His blood was shed that we could have our sins washed clean and have new life. But they wouldn't have just finished with the death of Jesus, would they? Because that's half the story. They would have spoken about the resurrection of Jesus, that he is alive forevermore. And he's coming again soon. And we need to be ready for his return. Saul and Barnabas, what they were doing, they were giving people the opportunity to hear and to respond to the good news. You know, Saul and Barnabas couldn't change hearts. It's only the Lord Jesus and God, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit who can change a heart. But they gave them people the opportunity to hear the good news. And it's wonderful here, back in Acts 14 again, verse 1, we see God touches lives and saves people. At Iconium, verse 1, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. And then a little bit further on in Acts 14, verse 21 and 22, they preached the gospel in that city. This is the city of Derbe. And won a large number of disciples. That's great, isn't it? Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. You know, what if we need to be encouraged today to remain true to the faith? There's much to sort of take our eyes off the Lord. There's much to disappoint us and frustrate us. But let's stay true to the precious faith we have in Christ. I think it's good to remind ourselves this morning that God delights in saving people. God delights in saving people. Jesus said that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 that are righteous. You know, that seems amazing to me that they're in heaven celebrating and praising God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and they take time to have joy over one person here on earth that is saved. It's amazing. You know, I was saved when I was 16, and that happened when I was saved. And when you were saved, you know, who knows, there may be joy in heaven today because God is speaking to someone about salvation, about coming to him and giving your life to him. When you go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, you have there, don't you, God's heart. He wants people from every tribe, language and nation coming into his family. Is that our delight? Is that what we want? Or do we just want our own Sunday services week by week? You know, I'm thankful for those that told me about Jesus, that they stepped out in faith and told me, gave me the opportunity to hear and also to respond. So you and I, we're part of mission. Whether we want to accept it or not, we're part of mission. Mission is our mission. And yes, it's a big task. It's a big task. Leonid, it was a big task for him. He lost his life, didn't he? Being out amongst people, trying to pray for them, share the gospel with them. But also it's a great privilege, isn't it, to serve the Lord in mission. Just one verse to finish the message with, and it was in the first reading we had from Les in Isaiah 52, and it's repeated in Romans 10, verse 15. And let's ask ourselves this again. It says this: how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, there's people waiting for you and your feet to turn up with good news. Mission is our mission. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus into the world, for bringing good news down from heaven to earth. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. And amazingly, you said, Jesus, that we are the light of the world. And Lord, we pray you'd help each one of us to shine, not only here in the church, but Lord, outside the church. Lord, that we would see mission as our mission, that you've called us to play our part. Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for each person here in the building. Encourage them in faith, Lord, or draw them to faith. And Lord, watch over us and encourage us until that special day of your great return. And we say, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we long for that day when we will be with you forever in heaven. Until that day, Lord, may we be useful and not useless. Lord, we ask this for your glory. Amen.